As we think about this subject here this morning, making wise decisions, we can't help but think about the times within our lives where we might have done something foolish within this life. I wonder how many of you would be honest with me this morning and you would admit, I've done something incredibly foolish in my life before. How many of you raise your hand? You said, almost all of us in this room. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm trying to be honest and very gracious here this morning, but my spouse has done some incredibly foolish things. Don't raise your hand on that, all right? Don't raise your hand, okay? But all of us, we've done some incredibly foolish things within our lives. I'm not perfect in my life. I fall right into that category, and I've done many foolish things in my life, and there are definitely some moments that I can remember that could have been avoided if I would have simply been more careful and taken heed to some of the warnings and the instructions that I had received. I remember many years ago when I was a teenager, I was in junior high, and I remember going to a church camp at my dad's church, and we all went together. It was a family camp, and we went up to Mount Whitney in Sequoia National Park, and one of the days there, we went hiking all together, and we ended up at a small lake right at the top of that hike that we were traveling. Now, I've never really fished before in my life, never really had a desire to fish, but for some reason, that day, something got into me, and I wanted to go fishing on that lake. Some of the men had brought some fishing poles, they had brought their tackle boxes, they had brought their bait, and as we were going up on that hike, they were telling us there's a lake at the top of this hike, and we're going to do some fishing there and catch some fish, and we're going to have a great time. And I remember going up on that hike and receiving some instructions from these adults. They said, well, you want to be safe when you get up there, and you want to be courteous of everybody and make sure that you watch where your line is, that it doesn't get tangled up with somebody else, and respect their space and be careful of that. And then they said, make sure when you go out there and before you cast your line, make sure you look behind you so that there's nobody there. And just make sure that the area is clear so that you could safely cast your line. And so I listened to the adults that day. I said, okay, I got it. And no problem. I received your instructions. And so we got up to that lake and everybody started settling down and they were eating some food. And for some reason, something got in me. And I thought to myself, you know what? I want to get out there and go fishing. And so all by myself, nobody else went with me, but all by myself, I grabbed a fishing pole, I grabbed a tackle box, I grabbed some bait, and I went out there. I found a spot at the edge of the lake and started preparing that bait and hooking it onto that hook. And I remember the thought that was passing through my mind. I was thinking, I want to catch a big one. And I don't know what's in this lake, but I want to go back with a big catch, and I want to go back to that camp to where everybody is, and everyone's going to applaud and say, wow, you're my hero, and Paul, you did a great job, and they're going to lift me up on their shoulders. And this was just the imagination that I was having within my mind. And so I went there, and I grabbed that fishing pole, got out, and started getting ready to cast that line. And for some reason, when I was there, I didn't know much about fishing, but I thought to myself, if I'm going to catch a big one, I better throw it far. And I better muster all my strength and throw it as far as I can, because all the big ones got to be living in the deep over there. And so I got that fishing pole that day and started having this imagination about catching the big one. And I put my fishing pole behind me. I remember this like it was yesterday. I threw that fishing pole behind me. And right when I did, for a split second, there was a thought that came through my mind, Paul, you should turn around and you should check to see if there's anybody back there. That was the instructions that you received. And then immediately as that thought came into my mind, another thought came into my mind, and that thought was, wait a minute, if I threw the pole back and it didn't hit anybody, then I'm not going to hit anybody pulling it forward. There's no way they're going to magically appear there within the next few seconds. And so I took that pole and I pulled it back, and I kept thinking, man, I'm going to catch that big one. I'm going to be the hero. I'm going to be the envy of everybody at this camp, and I mustered up all my strength, and I went to pull and cast that line as hard as I could, and something happened. It wouldn't move. It was stuck, and so I thought to myself, it must be caught on a tree or maybe a branch. I didn't think to look back again. I just thought, I'm going to pull this harder, and I tugged a second time, and I tugged a third time, and by the time I tugged the fourth time, I heard the cry of a little girl. And immediately there was this eerie sensation that went through my body. And I heard this cry, and I looked behind me, and sure enough, I had caught a big one. I did catch a big one. It was a 40-pound little girl in our church by the name of Grace. I don't know how she got there, but within those few seconds, she ended up behind my line. I casted it, and it hooked her right on the back of her arm, and I pulled on that about 2-3 times. And I remember as I looked at that girl by the name of Grace, I was thinking, once her parents find out, and once my parents find out, I'm going to need a lot of that grace. That's the grace that I'm going to need. And it was a dumb mistake. It was a foolish decision that caused a lot of pain. But it could have been completely avoided if I was being careful. If I had heeded to the instructions that I had received just moments earlier concerning the counsel about fishing. And you see here this morning, when it comes to life, we can avoid a lot of pain and a lot of foolish decisions if we would take heed to God's instructions. And one way that God instructs us in this life is through counsel. It is through the advice and the guidance of others. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 20, the Bible reads there, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." And so the Bible teaches us here this morning that we can avoid foolish decisions and we can make wise decisions within this life if we would carefully listen to and heed to the counsel of others. And so I want to share with you here this morning several thoughts on receiving counsel and making wise decisions within this life. First of all, notice with me as we look at this one verse here this morning, notice the priority of counsel. I find here the priority of counsel. In verse number 6, it begins there, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war." The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. Solomon was David's son, and it was written during the time when he reigned as the king over the nation of Israel. And as the king, Solomon had absolute power. As the king of that nation, he was the final decision maker. And one major decision that he faced from time to time was whether or not his country should wage war and enter into battle against another nation. And Solomon is teaching us here in verse number 6 that before a king enters into a war, the priority is that he would gather his trusted advisors. The priority is that he would sit down, he would seek the counsel of his military generals, and with that counsel, then he would make the decision whether or not it was wise for their nation to enter into that war. For the decision to either enter a war or not was a decision that wouldn't simply impact his life, but it would impact the lives of thousands, if not millions of people within his nation, within the neighboring nations, and then the cost of war would be extremely high, and whether in defeat or victory, still the collateral damage of that war would be very significant. And so Solomon teaches us here this morning, in a decision with this much gravity, a king must consider all his options, and he must take time to first seek counsel. The Bible says once again in Proverbs chapter number 20, verse 18, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." In Luke chapter 14, verse 31 in the New Testament, it says, "What king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. And so the Bible teaches us that in making war, it is not a decision that somebody ought to make flippantly. It's not a decision that somebody ought to make hastily, but it's a decision that somebody ought to make with counsel. There is the priority of seeking counsel because of the gravity of that decision of waging war. Now, some of us here this morning might be thinking, what does that have to do with me? And I will never be in a position to decide whether or not a nation goes into war. Nevertheless, here's the principle. And the principle that we find here this morning is that it applies to each and every one of us that when we are faced with important decisions, when we are faced with decisions that affect the lives of others, a decision that could alter the trajectory of my spiritual future, the Bible teaches us that we ought not to make that decision in haste, and we ought not to make that decision in a vacuum all by ourselves, but the Bible teaches we must practice the priority of seeking counsel. And I'm amazed and appalled here this morning how many people, even Christians, and even Christians that have been in church for a long time within their life, how many people make life-altering decisions without first seeking counsel. It might be a decision that they make in their marriage, and they make it by themselves. They make it in a vacuum. They counsel with themselves and only themselves. I think about the decisions when it has to do with a career option or maybe a financial investment or a relocation of one's home or even which church they ought to attend. Oftentimes, we make those decisions by ourselves, and then we announce it to everybody else. This is the decision that I've made, and we do that without ever going out there to seek counsel concerning that decision. And I'd be the first to admit here this morning that I'm guilty of this as well. And oftentimes in my life, I've made decisions in the past without seeking counsel. And oftentimes the root reason for all of that is because of my pride. I feel like I've got it all figured out. Well, I've searched Google. I asked my best friend. And you know what? I've read a book on it. So I've got my bases covered. I've got this all figured out. Or it might be the pride of, you know what? This is my desire. I'm going to make it happen no matter what. It might be the pride of I don't want anyone to correct me. I don't want anybody to change the pathway that I'm going because I am convinced in myself that I am right. And this is what the Bible says. Here's the warning that we need to heed to. It says in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. We could convince ourselves that we're right. We can convince ourselves that this is the right pathway. We can convince ourselves that this is the right decision and that's the right job to take and this is the right direction to go. And we could convince ourselves that we are right. But the Bible says here, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. One author wrote, he said, why is this rule so hard to follow? He said, pride keeps man from humbling himself to the criticism of others. Impulsive haste resents any delay for what the heart desires. Ambition seeks all the glory for itself by making solitary decisions. Rebellion and stubbornness choose to do their own thing anyway. Emotion creates passionate zeal for a thing, whether it is valid or not. These obstacles to seeking counsel are the marks of fools. I think about a story that I read about a school teacher. She was swindled out of her entire savings, all the money that she had saved. And she was approached by a very eloquent businessman and with a very elaborate business opportunity that promised millions in return. And after she made that investment and gave all of her money, she lost it all. And when she lost it all, she went to the Better Business Bureau. And she wanted to claim a complaint against this company that it was a fraudulent institution. And as she came to that Better Business Bureau, the official asked, why on earth didn't you come to us first? Did you never hear about the Better Business Bureau? And this was her response. She said, oh, yes, I've always known about you, but I didn't come because I was afraid you'd tell me not to do it. And oftentimes, that's kind of our spirit and attitude, right? We kind of figure it out on our own. We've done our own research, and we feel like I know what I'm talking about, and this is the decision. I know that I'm right, and we deceive ourselves, and we convince ourselves, and we never seek counsel because deep down within our hearts, we don't want somebody to tell us that it's the wrong decision, that is incorrect, that you're going that way out of pride and you need to slow down and you need to spend time seeking other counsel concerning that decision. And let me encourage you here this morning to slow down. Don't make important decisions in haste. Don't make important decisions, especially those that are going to affect the lives of your family, especially those that's going to change the direction of your spiritual life. Don't make those decisions in haste, and don't make those in an emotional flurry. I think about an acronym that might help us here this morning. It's the word HALT, H-A-L-T. And it speaks about don't make important decisions when you're H-hungry. Right? That's a good point for us to understand. When you're hungry, don't make decisions. I don't know how many times I've gone to the supermarket with my wife and I was hungry. I fasted lunch, I fasted dinner, and I get to the supermarket and I'm buying this, I'm buying cookies, I'm buying everything I can. I'm walking out with $50, $60 worth of groceries. I don't need any of it, but I went there because I was hungry and I made those faulty decisions. And halt, don't make decisions when you're hungry. A, don't make decisions when you're angry. Don't make decisions when you're hot-headed. L, don't make decisions when you're lonely. When you're not seeking counsel, when you've been living in a vacuum all by yourself, don't make decisions when you are tired. Halt. Slow down. Take time with the Lord. Seek counsel before you make those important decisions within your lives. And so we find here, first of all, the priority of counsel. Solomon says, before we wage war, an important decision, we need to seek counsel. For by wise counsel. And so the priority of counsel here this morning, I want you to notice, secondly, the pursuit of counsel. I find here the pursuit of counsel. And first of all, as we think about the pursuit of counsel, we ought to pursue godly counsel within our lives. Once again, in verse number 6, the Bible says there, for by wise counsel. It's not just any type of counsel, but by wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war. And first of all, could I encourage us here this morning that we ought to seek counsel from the Word. We ought to seek counsel from the Lord. It says in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 29, the Bible says, this also cometh from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. And that word working there that we find in the Bible speaks about guidance. And so God says, I have guidance for your life. I have direction for your life. Seek my counsel. And the primary way that we seek the counsel of the Lord is not only through prayer, but also through the scriptures, through the Word of God. And the Bible says in Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 119, verse 24, it says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. And you see, the Bible teaches us here this morning, and it contains principles and stories here this morning that can guide and counsel us in making wise decisions within this life. And oftentimes, if we would search the Bible first, we'll find that the answer to our questions are clearly addressed within the Word of God. There might be a husband here this morning that's thinking within themselves, should I leave my spouse? Should I go out there and seek for a brand new wife? And the biblical answer to that, the Bible already gives us guidance. You don't need to seek counsel. The Bible teaches us here this morning that the answer is no, that you ought not to leave your spouse, that you ought to be joined together forever according to the scriptures. In Mark chapter 10, verse 9, what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. A young couple might be thinking here this morning, should we go ahead and become physically intimate to take our relationship to the next level? And the biblical answer to that question is no. For the Bible teaches in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that he should abstain from fornication. Maybe there's some here in this room, you're going through a financial crisis, you're financially strapped, and you're thinking, should I go to Las Vegas and try my luck this weekend, and maybe go out there and try some of those tables and some of those machines? And the biblical answer to that is no. It is no. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Maybe there are some Sundays when you wake up and you're thinking, should I go to church this morning? My favorite football team is playing this afternoon. And the biblical answer to that is yes, you ought to be in the house of God. For the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And so first of all, as we seek godly counsel, we ought to seek counsel from the Lord, and we ought to seek counsel from his Word. And the Word gives us guidance. The Word gives us instructions concerning the decisions that we make within this life. And so we ought to seek the Word, but also we ought to seek the wise. And there might be some questions. There might be a direction or a fork in the road that you find yourself in. And you might find some principles here throughout the scriptures, but you need just a little bit more counsel. And when that takes place, we need to seek the wise, and we need to seek wise counsel according to the Bible. I think about the story in 1 Kings chapter number 22. It's a story about two kings. One king is King Ahab, And the other king is King Jehoshaphat. And the Bible teaches us in 1 Kings chapter number 22 that King Ahab was getting ready to go to war. He wanted to overtake Ramoth-Gilead, and he brought King Jehoshaphat together with himself, and he wanted to see if he would join hands together so that they would wage war together for Ramoth-Gilead. And the Bible teaches us here in 1 Kings chapter number 22 that King Jehoshaphat wanted to go out there and seek some counsel, and so did King Ahab. At least he perceived like he did, but all the counsel that he wanted was from people that would agree with him, right? He wanted counsel from those that were ungodly, those that would agree with everything that he desired to do. And so the Bible teaches in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse number 4, it says, "And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth-Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, 400 men, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides? And so he had discernment. He was wise enough to realize these aren't true counselors. I mean, these are folks that just want to agree with whatever you say. They don't want their head chopped off. These are not prophets of God. These are false prophets, and that's the circle that you're seeking counsel from. And so Jehoshaphat says here, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. And so King Ahab was seeking counsel, but he was not seeking wise counsel. He was seeking ungodly counsel. What he was creating there was an echo chamber, people that would agree with them concerning the decisions that he wanted to make in his life. And sometimes if we're not careful, we're not seeking wise counsel. We're seeking counsel from those that we know are going to agree with us. We're seeking not true counsel, but we're just seeking affirmation. Here's my decision. I already decided to go this way. Would you affirm that this is where I ought to go? And that's not the counsel that the Bible is speaking about. And the Bible speaks about here that we ought to seek wise counsel. We ought to seek godly counsel from people who are faithfully walking with the Lord, from people who aren't living in a lifestyle of sin, from people who fear God, and from people who are willing and ready to tell us the truth, even if it goes against our desires. And that's the type of counsel that we ought to be seeking, the wise according to the scriptures. And generally speaking here this morning, our friends and our peers are usually the first people that we turn to, but they are not always the best counselors within our lives. And what I've come to discover is that the best counsel generally usually comes from those older men and older women who are faithfully and joyfully walking with the Lord. And I think about that principle here in the Bible. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." Now, Solomon here is not simply pointing out a physical attribute. He's not necessarily saying, they have gray hair and that's beautiful and wonderful, but he's making a point here. And what he is saying here is that the gray head represents experience, it represents prudence, and it represents wisdom within their lives. Young men are important for they have strength and vitality, but older men are important for their wisdom and their prudence. Now understand here this morning, not everyone that is old is wise, and not everyone that is young is foolish. There are many younger people that have wisdom beyond their years because of their walk with God. But generally speaking, we tend to find more wisdom with the older generation than the younger. And I thank God for older men in my life. And I thank God for older pastors in my life. And I thank God that when I need to seek some counsel every once in a while, I'll ask other friends and pastors that are around the same age as I am. But if it's a very important decision concerning the future trajectory of our church or of my personal life or my marriage or my family, usually I'm seeking the counsel of somebody that's at least 10 years, 15, sometimes 20 years older to get their counsel upon my life. And I treasure those moments when I could find some time with men of God that are in their 70s and their 80s, and they'll take time to just counsel me, and they'll take time to just give me a little bit of wisdom and teach me concerning some of the experience that they have faced within their lives. And let me encourage you here this morning, especially young people, you don't got it all figured out, and there's a lot of people in this church, there's a lot of people in the circle of friends that you might have in your family that are godly men and women, that are faithful men and women that still have the joy of the Lord in their heart, and they're constantly walking with Christ, and they have wisdom built up and experience, and you want to befriend those people and glean from their wisdom that you might go forward in the right direction within this life. And we all need to have some godly counsel within our lives. In 2010, a newspaper in Singapore published a special report that contained the lessons gleaned from 8 senior citizens. It opened with these words: while aging brings challenges to mind and body, it can also lead to an expansion in other realms. There's an abundance of emotional and social knowledge, qualities which scientists are beginning to define as wisdom. These are not Christians now. Scientists are beginning to define as wisdom, the wisdom of elders. And this is what it says in Job chapter 12. Verse number 12, these are not my words, but the Lord's words. It says, with the ancient, I'm not calling you ancient, that's what God says here, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. And we all ought to have some older men of faith and some older women of faith that when we're making some life-altering decisions, we would seek their counsel, that we're seeking godly wise counsel from people that fear God, from people who are walking with the Lord, from people who still have the joy of the Lord within their hearts. And so we ought to pursue godly counsel. We ought to also pursue a group of counsel. In Proverbs 24, verse 6, in the latter portion, it says, and in the multitude of counselors. A multitude of counselors might mean 3. It might mean 5. It might mean 10, but definitely more than 1 or simply 2. And the fact of the matter is that even if somebody is godly and walking with the Lord, nobody is perfect, right? No person is inerrant and infallible, and even the wisest among us are subject to human error, and therefore we ought to seek a multitude of counselors, a multitude of godly, wise people within our lives. Also, I believe it is wise to seek a diverse group of counsel. Now, they all must be godly. They all must be walking with the Lord. But sometimes if all of our counsel is coming from family members, if all of our counsel is coming from a very tight circle of friends, there tends to be an emotional bias to that, and that might hinder us from receiving objective counsel and different perspectives concerning our situation. And so the Bible encourages us here this morning that we ought to have a multitude of counselors, a multitude of godly people that are walking with Christ. Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In Proverbs 15, 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. And so we find here this morning, as we think about making wise decisions for our lives, there's first of all, the priority of counsel. And I ask you here this morning, are you seeking counsel? Are you pursuing after counsel within your life? And as you seek counsel within your life, do you have a circle of godly people that you can go to? Do you have a circle of faithful, godly, wise, older men, older women that you can seek their counsel concerning the decisions of this life? The priority of counsel, the pursuit of counsel here this morning. And then finally, I want you to notice with me in this verse, I find here the promise of counsel, the promise of counsel. And look at how this verse ends. It says, therefore, by wise counsel, thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, the inherent implication here is that we're not just hearing a multitude of wise counsel, But then we are obeying and heeding to a multitude of wise counsel concerning the decisions within our lives. And you see here this morning, if we choose to neglect and if we choose to ignore the multitude of wise counsel, then there is no promise of safety. That's the inherent implication here, that as we're receiving the multitude of wise counsel, we are heeding to that. We are obeying those instructions that we hear when the counsel of godly men and women line up within our lives. I think about what one pastor said. He said, you only receive the protection offered by wise counsel when you take heed and follow it. And I think a perfect example that we find in the Bible is King Rehoboam. We find him in the scriptures in 1 Kings chapter number 12. He was the fourth king of the United Kingdom of Israel. He was the son of Solomon, but under his leadership, the kingdom was divided, Israel to the north and Judah to the south, not because he didn't seek wise counsel, but because he ignored them and he rejected the counsel when he heard concerning the decisions that he ought to make within his life. And so he sought after counsel. The Bible teaches here that for 3 days he was seeking counsel. He even heard from the wisest men within his kingdom, the advisors that were advising King Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever have lived. And so he was receiving wise counsel, but King Rehoboam decided to ignore that and to reject that and to follow and heed to foolish counsel. And we find that story in 1 Kings chapter number 12. In verse number 6, it says, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And so Rehoboam comes to the throne here, and the people of Israel come to him and say, your father made our service. He made our labor difficult. Also, our taxes are just a little bit too high, and they request that he would relieve some of that pressure. Would you relieve some of the mandatory labor, and would you relieve some of the taxes of your people as the brand new king of Israel? And so King Rehoboam brings those that consulted his father. He brings the older men here, and he asks them concerning this situation. And they responded, verse number 7, and they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. And so the counsel, the wise counsel that he received was be light on them, relieve their burdens, and be a friend to them, be a servant unto them, and they will serve you forever. But then in verse number 8, the Bible says, but he, King Rehoboam, forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And so Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And so Rehoboam, he went out there for counsel. He delayed for 3 days. He sought counsel. He received good counsel, wise counsel from the men that consulted his father. But at the end, he refused to heed to the counsel because of his pride and his personal ambition. And it ended up ruining and dividing the nation of Israel. On January 28th, 1986, the world watched in shock as the Challenger space shuttle exploded just 73 seconds after liftoff. As it shocked the world, there were some who were not so shocked. There was a group of people that were not very surprised with what had happened with that space shuttle. For about a year prior to that launch, engineers for Morton Thiokol, which was the company that made some of the key components for the shuttle, these engineers had discovered a serious problem. And what they had discovered was that under very cold conditions, the seals called O-rings that were part of the solid rocket boosters would fail, with potentially devastating results. 6 months prior to the launch, an engineer named Roger Boyce Holy wrote a memo to his superiors in which he wrote, It is my honest and very real fear that if we do not take immediate action to dedicate a team to solve the problem, then we stand in jeopardy of losing a space shuttle flight. Those warnings went unheeded. The executives of Morton Thiokol made a management decision to go ahead and proceed with that launch. And tragically, 7 astronauts perished in an accident that could have been avoided if they heeded to the warnings, if they heeded to the counsel that they had received from their engineers. And this morning, there's a lot of tragedies that can be avoided in this life, but we must first seek counsel. And as we seek counsel, we must seek godly counsel, wise counsel, and we must seek a multitude of counsel within our lives. And when that counsel begins to align together, we ought to humbly heed to that counsel. We ought to humbly obey that counsel. It might go against our desires. It might go against our logic and emotions here this morning. But in the end, a multitude of godly counsel will keep us safe. It will keep us from ruining our lives. It will keep us from hurting the lives of others. And it will keep us from the regrets and pain that come with prideful and hasty decisions. If we would just slow down, if we would just humble ourselves, admit, I don't have it all figured out. I'm not always right. And I need to seek counsel, but not an echo chamber. I need to seek godly counsel, wise counsel, people who aren't afraid to give me objective counsel and say, I realize you've researched this. I realize you've invested much into this decision, but you know what? That's a wrong decision. That goes against the scriptures and the principles of the word of God. People that will give you truthful counsel concerning what the Bible teaches us here this morning. And the Bible promises in that multitude of wise counsel, there is safety. It will protect us from a world of heartache. It will protect us from ruining our lives and creating devastation and misery.